We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
You're listening to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Assignments. Now the Guru Johnson, Dan Dibley with you. We'll be here till 2 o'clock. We'll turn it over to Damon Ratto and Kolsky at that time. And Peter King will join the boys at 2:20. Peter King, NFL expert, 2:20 on with Damon Ratto and Kolsky. And some news has just broken regarding the COVID pandemic and athletic events. And here's what I'll tell you. This is from Susan Slusser of the San Francisco Chronicle. The 49ers will be allowed to begin selling tickets on a limited basis immediately after they receive the go-ahead from the state to do so. California Health and Human Services said professional sports teams can sell tickets at outdoor stadiums as long as the local officials give the okay. So the 49ers are still going to have to get the okay from Santa Clara. We're looking at anything from 20% capacity to 25% capacity. And the 49ers, they're on the road for the next 2 weeks. Their next home game is against Green Bay November 5th. So November 5th, when the 49ers take on Green Bay at Levi Stadium, we may see some fans in the building. A couple other quick notes here, guys. Tailgating is prohibited.
Right.
Face coverings will be required, except when the fans are eating or drinking. So no tailgating, and even when you are in the stadium, you'll have to wear a mask.
And you have to stay in your seat unless you're going to the restroom, to and from, and you have to socially distance. There are a number of rules in place in other markets where they're starting to have reopening. And this, from the 49ers, quote, "We appreciate Governor Newsom's leadership and thoughtful approach in creating a framework that allows for a return of fans to Levi Stadium and restart the economic activity of the region. We welcome our fans and their support of local businesses and vendors that are critical to our local economy, especially during these difficult times. Our organization will continue to collaborate with local public health officials to implement a plan that protects the health and wellness of all San Francisco 49ers and Levi Stadium employees, patrons, and our community." I take this, Steiny, as maybe terrific timing for the 49ers because they've got, what, 16 days? Is that right? You said November 5th? 16 days until they would have to reopen. Plenty of time to get all these safety policies in place.
Yeah, and that's a Thursday night game against the Green Bay Packers. So
Aaron Rodgers.
We still have Pablo. Pablo in L.A., or is he gone? Oh, okay. Trey and Benicia. What's up, Trey? Trey and Benicia. Do we have you? Not yet. Okay. No Trey and Benicia. Go ahead, Guru.
See you later.
You got your I have you down here for Guru / Dodgers take.
No, I was just going to say what you said. I want to see Clayton Kershaw. I want to see him get a ring. And, you know, Steiny, I call out these guys like I did Andy Reid, but at the end of the day, Kershaw is one of the greats. I think they deserve it. They lost to a cheating team in the Astros. I'll leave that there. I don't want to see the Rays win it. But what the Dodgers did coming back from 3-1, their at-bats, if you know baseball, you don't see Dodgers hitters chasing. Dibs, this is probably one of the better teams ever assembled the last last 2 to 3 years constructed. So I appreciate him, and I want to see him get the win. Dave Roberts, you know, there's the areas of improvement. But if he was to solidify his managerial position in, you know, wherever you want to put it, a ring would definitely help. So I'm rooting for the Dodgers and Kershaw, Steiny.
It more than helps. It's a prerequisite when you're starting to talk about being elite in your field. And that's just the nature of it, because we can look at Jim Kelly and everyone remembers him as a great quarterback,
one of
the best of his era. But the fact that how far down the Jim Kelly Wikipedia page is the four Super Bowl losses. It's not that far down. We talk about that before his good stint in the 2-year USFL. That's for
there
sure.
You go.
It's unfortunate. It's unfair, but it's just the way these things go. And right now, Clayton Kershaw, as we run down his career in weeky fashion, you don't go too far, Steiny, before you get to October struggles. And without that ring, he's unable to get over that hump.
Yeah, and that's always been one of the things that drives me crazy, is that Jim Kelly,
four times.
We hold it against Jim Kelly because Scott Norwood couldn't make a 40-yard field goal. Because Scott Norwood missed the chippy, we get to say that Jim Kelly is not a champion. And I'm sorry, I just don't think Jim Kelly is any less of a champion than any quarterback who's won one Super Bowl. I just don't. I just can't do it, Dibs. And Goo, I can't.
He's one of the best to ever do it, man. Machine Gun Kelly, man. It stinks, Steiny, but I wouldn't tell you Jim Kelly's any less of a quarterback because he doesn't have a ring. It's like Dan Marino. I know what they were bringing to the table. Now, I'm not saying they're perfect, but Dibs, it's just when you have that conversation of rings, some people like Jim Kelly, Marino, they'll get left out. It's no slight. It's just facts.
It's unfortunate facts, but it's just the way some people look at it. And when you take a look at careers on balance and you're making comparisons, you look at things like statistics, all-star games, individual awards, and team accolades. These are all components. Different sports, we look at it in different ways, and it gets weighted in different ways. But what's immutable is Clayton Kershaw's ERA in the regular season versus his ERA in the postseason.
Okay, so right about it, Steiny.
So right now, if you could have Bumgarner's career or Kershaw's career, sounds to me like you guys would absolutely take Bumgarner's.
Yeah,
it's not close right now.
Well, if the Dodgers win this title, then I take Kershaw's.
With the one title, maybe you're right then.
Assuming he gets like a win,
two wins.
He'll start at least two games. If he gets a win, absolutely. Five times ERA champ, Clayton Kershaw. I think it's the Dodgers' time. I think Giants fans will have put together the Giants, the dynasty too.
Who's the author of It Don't Mean a Thing If You Don't Get the Ring? Is that Magic Johnson? Who is that? It don't mean a thing if you don't get
Michael
the ring.
I believe Michael Jordan said that after the Bulls won 72.
Okay. I'm not going to be here.
Really? Interesting. I didn't even know that. I never heard that from Michael Jordan. But he was a winner all time. One of the all times, as you guys know. All right, getting back to the Niners, who play the New England Patriots on Sunday night. Here's my question, and I came out with it to start the show, but I kind of want to revisit it. Guru, your expectations right now for the San Francisco 49ers for the rest of the season. You had talked to us before the show about, in a way, is this season a little more interesting because there's more unknown than if they were still healthy and by and large would be cruising toward an 11 or 12 win season?
Yeah, there's no doubt because I know fan is short for fanatic, Dibs and Steiny, but it's crazy. You take for granted. It's like the Warriors with KD. You could go mow the lawn, miss the game, and you knew what was the inevitable was going to happen. And just last year's Niners, they were dominant. Now, all of a sudden, each Sunday, you have no earthly idea of what version of the Niner team you're going to get. Now, obviously, nobody wants to go through that torture, if that's what you call it, Dibs, but to me as a fan, there's just something about appreciating and savoring every win when you know pretty much you're the big man on campus. You're pretty, you know, point spreads in the double digits. You're going to take care of business. It's kind of, I know people come down my rope, but it's kind of more exciting, you know, when you don't know. You're on the fringe.
It's a different excitement. It's kind of like when you go to a new restaurant as opposed to one of your old favorites. Last year you went to the same restaurant and you got a great meal. You got great service. The valet was cool. You tipped him right, and everything was smooth until that last trip. And, man, maybe the fish was a little off, or maybe the salad was a little wilted. Actually, you know what? If it was the Super Bowl, it was the dessert. You got some sour milk in your ice cream, and it kind of ruined the whole thing. This year, you've been going to a lot of new restaurants. And so you're going to Jermichael Hasty's place maybe this weekend, and you don't necessarily know what you're going to get. But, Stan, remember last year, that first time you went to Mostert's Bar and Grill, you weren't necessarily sure what you were getting there, and next thing you know, you're going there each and every week. So maybe Hasty's place is serving up some good grub. We don't yet know, but Goo, I like what you said about the excitement of the unknown, because when you go to that new restaurant, you might have read some Yelp reviews, but you don't really know what it's going to be like till you get there, and there's excitement in that.
Problem with going to Mostert's restaurant is they usually try to kick you out in about an hour and 15 minutes. You can't linger there. You know, once you get to you know, a certain amount of time, you got to get out of there at Mostert's thing. But you got to
check the hours because it's been closed a lot lately.
That's true.
Yeah. You know,
that's true.
Apparently, they're taking a 3 week. You know, you ever go to that restaurant, it's like you see the sign, it's like, yeah, we're going to be in Bali till November 17th. We'll see you then. It's like, what? You're taking 3 weeks off? My local donut shop would do that back when I used to eat donuts. Shout out 2019. They would up and go overseas for like 3 weeks. So where am I getting my donuts, people?
How about this one? I'd almost rather see a trip to Bali than back in 10 minutes.
Is that you ever get that gripe? One? That was my
you
gripe.
Ever get that one?
Oh, Steiny, all the time. Dude, and I went to get – oh, let me quiet.
You start looking up and down the street. You're waiting for somebody to start heading toward the door.
You have one job, right? Where are you at? Everybody looking around you, talking to strangers. Oh, man.
Yeah, so I don't like the back in 10 minutes because, let's face it, it never really means back in 10 minutes. But we're going to get a heavy dose of Hasty, I think. How do you think that, you know, when I was talking to Cam Inman and I said Hasty and Jeff Wilson Jr. and Juszczyk, he reminded me I'd forgotten Jerick McKinnon. I don't see a scenario in which McKinnon is somebody that they'll give the ball to, let's say, 12 times as in a running type play. So I look at it, and I think we're just left with Hasty. I think if I had to make a bet right now, Hasty will lead the 49ers in rushing attempts on Sunday.
I don't think you're wrong, Steiny, but let me play this out for both of you and tell me where you might see the math fall, because we know that when they get 30 carries, they almost always win the game. So you're looking at that as Kyle Shanahan thinking, how do I get 30 carries out of these guys? So what's the breakdown between McKinnon, Hasty, Wilson Jr., Garoppolo, Debo, Kittle, and Juszczyk?
I would say let's start. I'll let you do it, Dibs, but how about I start it?
All right. I love it.
Juszczyk, one.
Okay.
Now where do we go from there?
I think
how
you
do
keep
we
head north
30?
To maybe Garoppolo. How many are we going to see Jimmy G
Zero.
Scrambles? You're not going to see any scrambles?
I didn't like that last scramble where he put his shoulder in there. That shoulder could have
been. You mean the one that got him a field goal? The one that actually got him a field goal at the end of the first half?
Was it worth it, Steiny, though, man?
Damn right it was worth it.
Let me work it.
Oh, my. Are you kidding? So wait a minute.
If he dislocates that shoulder and we come back and are doing the show like.
Dibs, help.
He could have ran out of bounds against Kansas City.
He's trying to bubble wrap Jimmy G. Goo, I know you don't want him to run, but how many do you think he will run? How many scrambles? Two or three?
Under two. I'm going under two.
Well, let's just give him two for the sake of having him be different than Juszczyk. Okay. We're at three total, Steiny. Three total. How about Kittle? Does Kittle get a taste? He occasionally will get a run.
Let's give him one.
Okay, he's at four. Now we go to Debo.
I'll give him one.
You wanted to play him at running back, and you're giving him one?
Yeah, I'm giving him
two.
Warren Moon. Two.
Not five. Not six.
That's
not
fine.
Seven.
We're at six, actually, total. Total totes right now. This is total totes with Matt Steinmetz on 95.7 The Game. We're at
I
six
like
totes.
This.
How about the Jet, a.k.a. the Cessna? How many for the Cessna?
The Winnebago, 11 for the Jet. 11.
You're giving the Jet 11 carries?
Well, who the hell else going to carry? A guy that was just deactivated last
week?
Who
the hell
this
is John?
This is going to be very interesting here. I'll give him six dips.
Okay, well, I'll go a Moni Love, Moni in the middle, and we'll give him eight. Because Guru said 11, Steiny had six. Would you feel comfortable giving him eight, Steiny, as a negotiating middle?
I'm okay with that, Dibs. Yeah.
So we're at 14, and we're left with Jeff Wilson Jr. and the aforementioned Jamichael Hasty.
Okay.
And this is Total Totes with Matt Steinmetz.
I would say
95.7 The Game.
Jeff. That means
Jeff Wilson.
I can't
That's
see Hasty. And by the way, guys. His last name is Hasty. It's not Mick Hasty, in case you followed my text last night. That was a typo. I'm going to say 14 for Hasty.
14 for Hasty.
Wow,
so
Steiny.
We're at that's 28 total. How about Wilson Jr., Guru?
I'm going to go six for Wilson Jr.
So based on this this math here, it is total totes. Complete carries next week, and you know, random rushes the week after that. You guys got him at 34 carries as a team. Niners win. Congratulations, Kyle Shanahan. You've beaten the New England Patriots.
Well, and let me
we don't know that, Diz.
Let me make a
when
little.
When they get 30 carries, they win, Goo.
Yeah.
Those are facts.
What do you make of this? What do you make of this? Jerick McKinnon, okay? He's missed the last 2 years because of injury. All right, the first two games of the year, Arizona and the Jets, he carried three times each, okay? Three carries the first game, three carries the second game. Fair enough, he's coming back from injury. He's been off the field for 2 years. The next two games against the Giants and Eagles, he carried 14 times against the Giants, then 14 times against the Eagles. Since then, one carry against Miami, and six carries against the Rams. It feels to me like Shanahan's realizing he doesn't get as much out of McKinnon as he would like. In other words, I think I'd make this bet. Jerick McKinnon will not carry the ball more than 14 times in a game for the rest of the year.
And there's no and there's no diss to that, Steiny. It was apparent, Dibs, that Eagle game. And they treated it like it was a alley fight, and you could see the physicality of McKinnon going to the ground, and just that wear and tear took a toll, and that's why you see kind of the reeling them back in a little bit with the carries. I do understand that,
and reeling them back in a lot of bit.
Yeah,
well, who else got the ball in the first half last week? Nobody. It was Raheem Mostert going crazy. He had 17 carries in the first half. Now, he probably wouldn't have ended the game with 34 carries, but it was clear that they were leaning on Mostert in that game. And now I think you look at it going into New England, you're not going to lean on any of these guys. And I don't think that Jet McKinnon will even get 10 carries against New England. And by the way, the expectation is for Tevin Coleman to be back, not against New England, but in the subsequent week. So that's going to slice into the Jet, a.k.a. the Cessna, a.k.a. the Winnebago's carries even more.
And I wonder, Richard Sherman, obviously, we're expecting some kind of update on him. Although I kind of think no news is not necessarily good news with Sherman. We're going to find out, obviously, tomorrow if he's practicing or not. Will he be able to go against New England, or is it more likely he comes back Seattle? Or is it possible that this thing could linger a little more than we like on your worry meter, Dan? I don't have to ask.
Wow,
Guru,
keeping it formal.
He's at a 10.
I'm the worrier of the show.
Yeah, and so what do you play Sherman's odds of coming back?
Are we talking about for this game, or are we looking for more of a long-term scope? Because I think those are two different questions.
Actually, I'm very distracted right now, Dibs, because I guess our digital team has hung me out to dry by putting up something on Twitter where it's got me in an L.A. Dodgers uniform.
Oh.
And it says in all capital letters, I'm rooting for the Los Angeles Dodgers.
It's better interesting you that me. you would try to cast aspersions to the social team for simply proliferating an opinion that you so passionately gave on this very program. And my role in the subsequent distribution of this material is neither here nor there, but I may have alerted Kyle to flag that audio because I thought it was so good. Your passion was so clear and clean that I thought it needed to be repurposed for the greater good of the audience.
Divers, tell him!
Thank you, Lolo.
What good...
Call me Dibber Claus. I've done it again.
What good could possibly come from dozens and dozens of people replying that I'm a horse's ass? How does that benefit anybody?
If one of those accusatory people has a meter, then all of a sudden, just call me Dibber Claus.
As
thank you,
Gilda Radner would say that's very different. I'll take a couple cheap shots to sacrifice and to make sure that our ratings are great. By the way, what did you guys think of the two NFL games yesterday, starting at 2:00?
I thought it was awesome. Monday afternoon football, even though Guru apparently is the expert on doing Howard Cosell impersonation, so I won't even try it here.
Oh, he is?
Lest I get...
Hey, I wanted to apologize for that.
Lest I get mock-blocked by Guru yet again. Up in 30 seconds, Guru gives you his recap with Cosell of Monday afternoon football, but I thought it was terrific. You get off the show, you walk 7 steps to your couch, and you press the power button on the remote... You've got NFL football. I thought it was great, Cosell. What did you think? I'll be Danny Don, and then Steiny can be Meredith.
It was great, Dad, to get off of work and have football right there in your living room. Not one Steiny, but 2 games. I enjoyed it. Had my gold bar whiskey, and I could really get used to it.
Was that your Katharine Hepburn?
What was that?
That was my Howard Cosell.
You all right, Goo?
Wow.
No, I thought you guys were loving it the way you were. My Howard Cosell.
And I don't know what's wrong with Guru today.
Sounds like Katharine Hepburn from On Golden Pond.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Dibs there, to tell you the truth.
That sounded like Bob Dylan doing an impression of somebody doing an impression of Bob Dylan.
With Katharine Hepburn in the room.
Guys, I thought that was money. Wow.
Are you serious?
Yeah, no, that was interesting. By the way, what was I going to... Oh, something about the Bills. Oh, I know what it was.
We're coming back to earth.
Can we please sack Patrick Mahomes? Is it my imagination, or does he, like, run right by guys, and they're like, dude, look, he's right there. He's right there. I mean, the guy is so... I mean... Man, is he elusive. You know what it feels like? You know how like those sacks where it's just a pressure sack where the pocket just collapses and he's got and the quarterback's got nowhere to go. It feels like he's in that position 6 times a game and he just subtly makes a move and the next thing you know he's playing from a position of advantage. Man, he's frustrating.
Because he's
to
so
watch.
Slippery. He's able to turn his shoulder, turn his hips, move his feet about a yard or two. He sees the rush coming, and he's so strong with the ball, too, that he can roll left. How many throws have we seen him rolling left and throwing off the back foot across the field to the right? And with his arm, he's able to make things happen. So athletic, it's unfair to compare anyone to him, in my opinion.
And that little movie he should have had, a quarterback should have broken ribs. Like, what are you doing? He goes, I'll just back up, hit reverse, and keep going right in this tough game and not even get touched to get a first down. Crazy.
All right, here's what's coming up on 95.7 The Game. Guru's Gripes coming up next. Nothing more needs to be said, and that's all sponsored by the U.S. Postal Service.
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Matt Steinmetz, Darryl the Guru Johnson, and Dan Dibley with you. Be here till 2 o'clock and pass it along to Damon Ratto and Kolsky. Peter King joining them at 2:20. Coming up in 10 minutes, Guru's Gripes. Guru's Gripes. Looking forward to that one today. We had touched on this a little bit before, but I want to clarify because I want to make sure we got it right. Interesting little tidbit about the Golden State Warriors reported by Anthony Slater. He is reporting that the Warriors, who have a trade exception worth $17.2 million, which is a trade exception that many feel is going to be used to get the Warriors back on track. Slater is reporting that sources increasingly insist on the usage of that $17.2 million exception. Quote, it would have to be a special opportunity, meaning they're not likely to use their $17.2 million trade exception to help improve their team. Wow. And it's essentially based on the amount of luxury tax they'll have to pay. And this is something that I've always maintained. I've always thought this. Will Joe Lacob spend into the tax? Absolutely. Will he pay the luxury tax? Absolutely. But there's no such thing as an owner where money doesn't matter. You reach a point where some decisions have to be made just based on smarts. And the reality is, if they were to use that exception, okay, let's just say they used it, and you can use the exception to get a player of any amount of money underneath, but let's just say they used it for a player who makes $10 million. You know how much $10 million would actually project to in terms of the penalty? $38 million. So they would have to pay the guy $10 million, then pay a penalty of $38 million. I'm sorry, I do not think that's happening.
Now, is that because they're a repeater? Because they've been in the tax? Because I thought they got out of the tax last year, which prevented them from being a repeater now.
No, according to Slater, if they use the exception to acquire a $10 million player, the projected tax bill would be about $38 million. If they got a $15 million player, the projected tax bill would increase by $64 million. And that is even before, guys, taking into account that if they use the number two pick, that player is going to need to be paid starting at about $8.5 million a year. They have a brand new arena that was supposed to be a cash cow, and it hasn't really gotten a lot of use. I am not saying that Joe Lacob all of a sudden is going to tiptoe the salary cap line or anything like that, but the idea that Joe Lacob can just spend money right now willy-nilly without any concern for the payroll, I just don't think that's the case anymore.
And he said it, Guru, the idea of not having people coming into Chase Center. Think about all of the other events. The last big event at Chase Center was a disgrace at Chase. And I don't think we made that much money at the gate
that afternoon.
That's a huge problem, JD. They haven't had much since, March 11th? You're talking about 7 months where they would have had, just estimating, let's say you have five events a week.
Oh, wow.
Over the course. So that's 20 events a month. That's 140 events worth of cha-ching that Joe Lacob and company's missing out on. That's a huge piece of the pie.
And you know what, Steiny? We have talked about this, what this player would be ad nauseum, but I'm not mad. And nobody told me to run away and visualize the said player. But I got to tell you, Steiny and Dibs, I feel a little bit hurt. Like, if it don't manifest into somebody, then I just assumed that person was going to have a jersey and be on the bench, you know, worth something to help this Warrior team get back. And I'm not saying they can't, but I'm like, wow, it just hammer homes I'll go Prince, sign of the times, dude. Yeah. What you just talked about with, you know, the money being funny a little bit.
Yeah. That's well, everything's
That's
funny.
That's a big tax, Stein.
As you know, I mean,
wow.
We're sitting 7 months into an unprecedented global pandemic. So I wasn't expecting to be doing middays. No. And if I would have thought about Steiny Guru and Dibs, I would have imagined show preps and Guru in the green room. And, you know, he's having his Red Bull and Steiny's got his reading glasses on over his computer. And Kyle and I are reminiscing about Sac State and UC Davis games from the early 00s. And instead, I'm looking at you four crazy mugs on the screen. So all bets are off as it pertains to our lives, sports front office projections, all that stuff. I mean, so I understand it. I'm with you, Guru. I was licking my chops at, okay, they're going to use that trade exception. They're going to use the number two pick. Right. They're going to get all these pieces in, and we're going to be ready to roll. But how can you ask anybody who's hemorrhaging money to go out and spend, $38 million in penalties? That's a lot of parking tickets worth of penalties right there.
Yeah, and just think about it for a minute. You got Curry making about 35, 40. You got Clay making 30, 35.
Oof.
You got Wiggins making 30. You got Draymond making 25.
Damn.
You cannot pay a guy $15 million who's not even going to start for you.
Right.
He's not even going to start for you. How's he going to start? Unless we're talking about a center. So just an indication that it's – I don't want to say it's a long road back for the Warriors, but to win a championship, it is a long road back for the Golden State Warriors.
Steiny, with that trade exception, is that like a carton of milk? Does it have an expiration date on it?
Yes, it does. I'm not sure the exact date. It's coming up in the next probably 6 to 8 weeks. It's already been pushed back from July because of the pandemic. Now, here's the thought that the Warriors have, and some people think may be an opportunity. Because of the pandemic, there are going to be teams that are, you know, that are losing money or that need to be extremely frugal. So maybe there's a team that has a $17 million player that simply they would like to get rid of, and then the Warriors essentially give them the trade exception, and now they have that player. The problem with that is no self-respecting team is going to really give away a good player who makes 17 or less, and anybody who's available, the Warriors probably won't think they're good enough anyway. So I saw an interesting one the other day. I think it was with Boston, maybe, who's got the 8th pick. Would you trade, Guru, would you do this? You're the Warriors. All you right. Trade the number 2 pick and the trade exception for Marcus Smart and, like, the number 8 pick.
No, I wouldn't do it. It would be very tempting, but I got to tell you, too, just real quick here. I've honed in on Wiseman, and – I think he's going to be a perfect fit, Steiny and Dib.
So
I'm
looking
fascinated.
Through all that tape, Steiny, three college games.
Wait a minute. Hold on. So
go ahead.
I see this tape that's been floating around, and it's this tall guy who's left-handed. So that was Wiseman, right?
Yeah, it was Wiseman.
Oh, boy.
And there's another one with his shirt off, Steiny, and I'm just looking at his physique like this dude could just run up the court, Dibs, endless with the lobs, everything.
Okay.
So
let me tell
eight,
you,
I don't think – okay, help me
let
out.
Me tell you what I saw. Let me tell you what I saw from that minute tape of James Wiseman. I think he is going to be able to help. I really do.
Oh,
in about 2026,
I
think he'll be able to help. Goo. We've got Slater.
High, dude.
All right.
Steiny,
Anthony Slater.
Before we go to Anthony, I would do that trade in a heartbeat. Marcus Smart on this team would be incredible, and you're only switching 6 spots. That's a trade I would do.
Wow.
Sorry, Stein.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Anthony Slater. This is surprising me, and I got to do it on the run. What's up, Anthony? How you doing, man?
What's up, fellas? What did I hop into?
Oh, we just cited your piece in The Athletic about the trade exception is not likely to be used unless it's a special opportunity. And the numbers that you threw around for what it would cost, I mean, those numbers are crazy, right?
Yes, and they're not necessarily fully decided because the CBA isn't, right? I mean, like, that's kind of what's going on in the next month. They need to figure out where the tax line, where the cap line is. And then the other thing, we need to know if there's going to be fans in Chase Center next year. That would probably affect some decision-making. But, yeah, I mean, as of now, it is going to be absurdly pricey to just add a guy for whatever, $12 million, $14 million, whatever you end up adding.
What other options do you have then as a team with this trade exception if you don't utilize it? Can you trade in it? If you don't, does it just go away on some day?
Yeah, it expires. I believe the date is 7 days after free agency. It was actually going to expire July 7th, because it's a year from when you get it. But because, you know, everything got pushed back, the NBA moved all player option dates and stuff like this to free agency. So I think the date will probably be December 7th, because the expectation is December 1st is probably going to be free agency.
Hey, we're having some fun. I don't know if you've seen the video circulating with Wiseman, but I was ashamed to tell Steiny, you know, I'm a highlight guy, Slater. So are you hearing anything if he were to be available? And what did you think of – I know it was just him dunking, but Slater, I'm looking at him like he would fit in, right, man. I'm getting excited.
I'm with you. I'm with you. I've been on – I've been driving the Heisman or Wiseman bandwagon.
Oh, see? So you see it.
No, I mean, because you know what I see? I see skill. I don't just see the fact that he's as big as Rudy Gobert and he already kind of looks like David Robinson at the age of 19. But I see the jumper, you know, and it's very little footage because he played three college games, but it looks Chris Bosh-like, just the form. I'm not saying he's going to shoot like Chris Bosh, but I think there's something there to be developed. I think there's defensive player of the year potential if you get him with a Ron Adams, and he really goes to Ron Adams camp for the next couple of years. And what I really see is how bad the rest of the draft is, and the fact that if there is a potential superstar within that James Wiseman body and that skill, I don't see how you pass him up at two unless you have a trade offer that is just a can't-miss trade offer. And maybe that has to do with the trade exception. Is there a superstar out there? I don't think so. So I think you just go best talent available. And my personal opinion is that he is the best talent available.
Yeah, I agree with you there, Anthony. With the only thing I would say is that for whatever reason, the Warriors love one of those guards and think that that particular guard's going to be a star. But then they would have to be picking that guy among three or four other guys that other people might like.
Yeah, well, the strange thing is, like, you could make the argument if we're just talking about, like, next year. Like, the Warriors trying to win next year. Yeah, sure, maybe, right, like, a Tyrese Halliburton can hop in and be a seventh man in a rotation better. You know, maybe Wiseman's just not ready because he's 19. He's pretty raw. But I don't think if you're picking at number two, you should be picking, like, who would be the best seventh man for a two-year stretch. I mean, yeah, you just need to go find the best talent, because not only do you are you potentially developing your superstar to hand the keys over to in 2024, you're also getting a trade asset. Nothing says you can't trade the draft pick once you've taken it. What if you get Wiseman? He looks awesome. He's a 14-8 guy in his first few months, and then the Wizards go, Bradley Beal's available, we want James Wiseman. Suddenly that you have a great trade asset by the deadline.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, Anthony, for jumping on. Appreciate it. We got to run, but thanks for answering the phone, I guess.
Yeah, right. No problem, guys.
All right, Anthony Slater of The Athletic. Yeah, just getting back to Wiseman, Goo. I watched that little footage, yeah. And I was watching it, and at the second move, I was watching, and I said, "Well, that's a walk."
Oh, not anymore.
That's a walk.
Not anymore.
I mean, he's walking.
Everybody
like, that's
walks.
A walk.
Damn, yeah, not anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I if you don't like one of those guards, then I think Wiseman is the call. Who knows how good he is or how good he's going to be.
I can't wait. Man.
A couple of quick 49er notes before we get to Guru's gripes. Eric Branch of the San Francisco Chronicle is reporting Santa Clara County will not allow the fans at Levi's Stadium. The 49ers have to get clearance from Santa Clara County, and it is being reported at the Chronicle by Eric Branch that has not occurred and that they may not let fans in. We will update that as
there's
necessary.
A shock considering and, the brief acrimonious history,
yes,
between the city of Santa Clara and maybe the county by proxy and the San Francisco 49ers. So this could turn into an interesting tug of war here over the course of the next week or so, Steiny, because You know, a certain amount of fans would love to go back. The Niners already released a statement saying they're looking forward to having fans back, yet the county maybe doing a little fan blocking here, Goo. Yeah. Maybe not.
Not either. Howard Cosell blocking, which I think it was John Wayne I was doing. I was thinking about it during the break.
You were working through something. Yeah. Guru's gripes up in 3 minutes. But first, Steiny here with more news and notes, right, from the Niners with some transactions being made, Steiny?
Oh, here we go. Interesting news. Parnell Motley officially has been added to the roster. Parnell Motley. Tight end Daniel Helm has been waived. Tight end Daniel Helm, who apparently played for the Niners, he's been waived. Ben Garland, I'm just kidding, everybody. Ben Garland has officially been placed on the injured reserve. Helm was added, if you'll remember, after Jordan Reed went down.
Right.
He was never active. And the thinking there is that Helm getting waived may be an indication that Jordan Reed is close to returning from a knee sprain he suffered in week 2. So that would that would be some good news there. All right.
Hypotheticals.
Guru's gripes. Let's do it.
It's time for Guru's gripes. Fire away, Guru.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You're starting to piss me off.
It makes me so mad.
Oh, please don't make me angry, pal. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
King Kong ain't got on me.
It's time for Guru's gripes.
Mother sucker.
I was going to hold this one in, but I got to let it go. So yesterday, before the football festivities, we had turkey tacos in the Johnson household. I went and got cilantro, turkey, tomatoes, and lettuce. And, guys, I'm in line with my mask on. I grew up with the dog. His name was Danny. He was an Irish setter. We used to pheasant hunt and take him deer hunting. I'm in line, guys, and the person behind me, they got the little thing, has a dog, and the dog sniffing at me while I got my items in my cart, and I got the mini cart, but I'm just like, and I can't judge the person. I didn't know what was going on, but it didn't look like any issues. But leave the dog in the car, especially right now. Whatever. The dog didn't have a mask either. Is that asking too much? I mean, I'm just that Steiny. I was pretty upset. The dog sniffing at me. I love pets. I like dogs, but. Did it belong in the store? Come on, man. Somebody
one point of order,
that.
Goo.
Come on, I wanted to call the manager.
Did it have one of those?
No,
I'm
it
an
didn't
official,
have the. Yeah,
no sweater.
No sweater, nothing. Just regular. You know what I'm. Yeah, Marmaduke.
Bottom line is this: I will always, always take the side of a dog over a human. Always. I'm a canine guy. And so if you can't tolerate
in the store,
a little sniff.
Sonny's?
Hey, listen. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Keep it in your car with the windows rolled up? Is that the kind of guy
at the
you
house,
are, Goo?
At the no.
Listen.
I had a dog. Man,
listen,
I love pets.
Rexy, God rest his soul, got a little anxious when Rexy was at home by himself. He would get a little anxious.
And by a little, you mean barking from 9 to 5 and not taking an hour off for lunch?
Okay. Thank you very much. So we started bringing Rexy into the car.
Barking,
but sometimes
9
it's
to
warm,
5.
And you just do the best you can.
Yeah.
What kind of dog was it? There are some dogs I don't
An
like.
Irish setter.
No,
that
Guru
was my
had.
Dog. Yeah, that's what I grew up with. This one was kind of, I want to say a lab. A lab.
Oh,
it
yeah,
wasn't
that's
small.
Fine. That's fine. See, if it would have been a Chihuahua, I might be able to get on your
Dibs,
side.
I looked what you said.
Or a
to
pug.
See if it was a comfort dog.
Yeah.
Nothing on it. And I was just like, hey, come on. A lot going on right now. Come on. That's all.
I feel you, Goo, especially when it comes to sniffing. You know, if you
oh my, that's where I got. Yeah, you know, I was gonna go back and exchange the turkey meat, but I can't.
You're gonna exchange turkey meat because a dog is sniffing your ankle?
No, if the dog sniffs up on your turkey
the
meat,
basket. It was up
you're
on
definitely
the
bringing it
my
back.
Basket. I looked at the guy like, come on, you could have left him at home. He'd have been all right. But yeah.
I mean, if it. You know, if it's a lab or some kind of lab mix, I mean, those dogs are aces. I mean, those
dogs
are where
it's at. This feels like
dogism
to me right now. Like, there's some breeds, Steiny, that don't get the same status in your mind.
There are.
Oh, wow.
Pugs.
Yeah, not me.
No interest in pugs. No interest in chihuahuas.
Whoa,
No interest in poodles.
Wow.
Except unless they're bigger poodles. I don't mind the bigger poodles, but the little poodles.
Let me ask you this.
The only small dogs we really like are dachshunds. Yeah, dachshunds.
Dibs, you're walking up to the store and they say no pets allowed. Would you make a big stink of it, or would you just accept, like, you know what, I understand. Okay, I'll leave Johnny at home.
Yeah, as a cat owner, I don't have to deal with these difficulties. Your cat lives as your cat chooses to live. That, to me, is the kind of pet ownership I'm interested in. There's a little bit of reliance, and certainly I house Cliff, but by and large, he goes where he wants. He comes and goes as he pleases. I don't have to pick up his excrement, nor do I have to walk him.
So, you know,
yeah, as far as dog ownership goes, I've always been a big know-your-place guy. Your dog doesn't belong in the grocery store. You can tie your dog up outside, and if your dog can't sit there for 10 minutes while you grab your sour cream and chives, we've got bigger issues.
Yeah, that's all, Steiny. And we grew up the same deal.
In France, they love having the dogs at the cafe with them as they sip their tea and perhaps get a little late lunch.
Oh, brother!
In Senegal, there is no dog ownership. Dogs just run the street. A dog may come to your house and stay there and eat there, but then the dog is on to Cincinnati. There's not this need for dog ownership.
I respect that.
Huh, interesting. I wonder if that's – Bob Dylan used to have a song called When Dogs Run Free. I wonder if maybe he didn't take a trip to Senegal at some point. Is that true, Dibs? They have no ownership in Senegal of dogs?
Wow. Right, right. It's just, you know, dogs just run free. And, you know, dog may come to your house and dog may go to the neighbors. You don't own a dog. And you certainly don't bring the dog to aisle 7 to pick up those stewed tomatoes.
Man. I mean, was this at a Safeway? Was this at like a Safeway type of place?
Yeah, it was up there. Yeah, one of those.
Kind of a Safeway.
I'd rather watch two dogs make puppies.
And I had the mini basket, so I was holding it low, so that's how he got the
sniff.
There's
no chance.
There's, bad, Dibs.
And you know what? There's no chance it was a Whole Foods. I don't see a Guru as a Whole Foods guy. Am I right?
I've been to Sprouts. I like Sprouts.
That's not Whole Foods. That's Sprouts.
I put the same company for me. Same division.
All right. Hey, we got to go. DRK next. Peter King, 220. Thanks for listening, everybody. Yeah.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.